John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus, of course, talking about the devil in verse 10, the thief, he comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And then if you'll turn your Bible to the book of Luke chapter number 4, the book of Luke in chapter number 4, Jesus unveils to us his purpose in coming to this earth in John 10:10, and that is to give life. We know the reasoning behind that. Adam sinned in the garden. God said, if you partake of this tree, you shall surely die. From that point, man has died. He has faced death. Graveyards are the proven fact that men die. Men leave this life then to face judgment. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life. And we understand tonight, theologically, that all men must physically die because the wages of sin is death. The Bible also tells us about a second death. That second death, that death that revolves around eternity, you and I have escaped that are saved by the grace of God. That's the life that Jesus is mentioning in John's Gospel chapter 10 and verse number 10. He gives us another reason that he came to this earth in Luke's Gospel chapter 4. Verse number 18, the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm interested in two words from John chapter 10 and Luke 4, and those two words are life and liberty. Jesus tells us that his purpose was to come into this world to give life. In verse number 18 of this chapter in Luke, the Bible tells us that he came to set at liberty. I want to focus. We all pretty much know what life is. We know that life, of course, begins no matter what political parties may say and no matter what liberalism may say. We know that life begins at conception. God tells us that. Concerning Jeremiah, he said, I knew thee when you was in the womb. And so we know that life is there, and we know that God has given that life. And so I don't want to take a lot of time to talk about that life. But we know that spiritual life begins at the new birth, when a man is saved by the grace of God. And I trust that you have been saved and you know the life that that is available to a child of God that repents of their sin and trusts the Lord by faith, and the blood of Jesus, the same kind of life that the blood that runs through your physical body provides physical life, the blood of Jesus gives spiritual life. Amen. And we preached about that on the Lord's Day. But I want to preach tonight on life and liberty. Life and liberty. The word liberty means freedom from restraint. Freedom from restraint. It involves your body, involves your will, and it involves your mind. And that's what liberty is about. That's what God desires that every individual in this building live in. Liberty. Liberty to do without restraint what you want to do with your body. To do what you want to do with your will. And to do what you want to do with your mind. And that's what God desires. That's what he desires for his children to live in. And that is in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Amen. In the life that Jesus said he has given. Let me ask you this. Do you have that kind of liberty? Do you live tonight in that liberty? I can say tonight with a clear conscience and with a true heart of assurance that I live in the liberty that life has been given to me through Jesus, or I live in the liberty of the life that Jesus has given unto me. I know what it means, amen. I know what it means to do what everybody else tells you to do. I know what it means to do what everybody else expects you to do. I know what it means to live my life governed by the affairs of the world and the status of society. But I'm glad that I know tonight what it means to live and to live in Jesus and to do what I want and desire to do tonight. Do you? Are you where you want to be tonight? Are you with who you want to be with? Are you doing what you want to do tonight? That's exactly what I'm doing. Amen. I'm where I want to be with the people I want to be with, doing what I want to do. I don't have any desire to be with anyone else, to be in any other place, to be doing any other thing. I'd rather be doing what I'm doing tonight than any pleasure the world can give. I'd rather be doing what I'm doing tonight than anything this world and the flesh could provide for me. And I know what it means to have liberty, amen, to live that kind of life. Freedom from restraint. I want to ask you a few questions tonight, or I want to point out a few things about liberty. I want to talk to you about the reason for liberty. Do you know what the reason of liberty is? Do you know why God has given us liberty? The word freedom and the word free and the word liberty rode hand in hand through the Word of God. And I'll read it here in a minute, but the Bible said, whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. He's talking about liberty, freedom from restraint. Do you know what the reason for liberty is tonight? The reason for liberty is so that you can be able to make a choice. Now, Calvinistic philosophy and Calvinism doctrine will take that away from you. God never intended, nor does He desire, amen, for people to be servants like robots and be mechanical individuals that are led around like puppets on a string. God has a desire that you choose. God has a desire that you live in liberty and in freedom. You'll take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Genesis. We'll go back several pages. Genesis chapter number 2 tonight. You'll just bear with me. Give me a few moments of your time. We'll try to hurry along. I got about 4 points I want to deal with if the Lord will help us tonight. But I want to talk to you about the reason for liberty for just a few moments. And that is for you to be able to choose. Amen. For you to be able to choose. For you to be able to make a choice. Not the preacher making your choices. Not your mother and father making your choices. But liberty has been given for the purpose that you make a choice. In Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 15, here's what the Bible says. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Would you say that's liberty? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Then God turned and left man in the garden after He gave him the woman Eve. And He gave Adam liberty. Said, you can eat any tree in this garden, but do not eat of that tree. The day that you eat that tree, son, you're going to die. He didn't put a sword turning every way, nor cherubims guarding that tree, nor a hedge about that tree. He didn't tie guard dogs to the tree. He set Adam at liberty in that garden to walk about in freedom and said, you can eat of all the trees, Adam. Freely eat of all of it, but do not eat of that tree. The reason that God gives liberty is He wants man to make a choice. God has a desire that you choose, amen. God has no pleasure in you living your life governed by rules and bondage and laws and restrictions. God has a desire that you reveal unto Him that you are going to make a choice. That's a reason for liberty. Secondly, tonight, I want you to notice the revealing of liberty. What does liberty reveal? The reason for liberty is a choice. The revealing of liberty will unveil your condition. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? We blame a lot of things on why people do what they do. But you can't blame it on anything but liberty. And liberty reveals the condition that men are in. Now, may I say that this aspect of liberty is very scary. For we see when Adam had the liberty that he had in the garden in the beginning, that he sinned against God, that he partook of that fruit, and he plunged the entire human race in a fallen, depraved, ungodly, and wicked state that man is presently in this day. You see, this thing of revelation that liberty provides, it unveils who you are. That's what it did in the garden. It showed Adam who he was, showed God who he was, showed his wife who he was, showed the devil who he was. And liberty will show the world around you who you are. He's a good boy. Give him liberty and you'll find out how much of a good boy he is. Oh, preacher, my daughter's a good, godly young lady. Give her a little bit of liberty so she can make some choices on her own and you'll find out just how good of a girl she is. Oh, preacher, I'm telling you, my son, he loves God. Does he love God? You got about a half a dozen long chains on him spiritually. You got him chained up and tied to the bedpost. Give him a little bit of liberty. You may find out just exactly who he is. The fact of the matter is, he may need to find out who he is. We've seen some make bad choices in 24 years of this church being in existence. I tell you what, it'd be a sad thing. You better listen to me tonight. It'd be a sad thing for them to sit on these pews, restricted and chained and fettered and guarded, and die and go to hell without God in their depraved state, lost and unholy. But I'm telling you, they got some liberty, and age and maturity in your life is going to avail the opportunity for you to choose. And when you choose John, when you choose John Taylor, when you choose Joseph, when you choose Joshua, I'm telling you, boy, you're going to tell everybody around you just who you really are. I'm telling you tonight, revealing the condition of man, it's going to let people know it's scary, but we found out who Adam was. We found out what he was. Amen. We found out what he was willing to do. I tell you what I've heard people say. I've heard people look at other people that's got in sin. Their homes have busted up. I'm talking about their children have went this haywire. And I've heard people say, I might get bad and I might get out of shape, but I can't imagine ever doing what he's done. What's wrong with him? Has he lost his mind? Preacher, I can't imagine. I had young men that has said, that has looked at other young men that has left this church. They've come back with a crazy, goofy hairdo and stupid looking clothes, walking different, acting different, talking different, and they'd stick their nose in the air and say, I'll never go down that road. But they're not here tonight. And the reason they're not here tonight is because they got liberty. And liberty showed them and everyone around them just what they were willing to do. That's what liberty will do. It will reveal your condition. You might be sitting at home right now. You may be at home. You may have a Bible on your nightstand when you go to bed tonight. But time, as the clock turns, as the seconds tick, and the months and the days pass, and the years flee by, there's going to come a time when liberty is provided for you, and you're going to make choices. And those choices are going to reveal your condition. Even though that's a bad thing sometimes, it's always a positive thing. Even though liberty is very negative, no man has ever been saved. There's no one ever come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation that did not first, before the cross ever became a reality in their heart and mind, it never happened until they knew who they were. Nobody's ever got saved until they saw themselves lost. Salvation never happens to anyone. Now, you may make a profession and you may get baptized and you may sing in the choir and you may do a lot of things, but you'll never get saved until you come to the reality of your sinful state. And I mean, you may be very young when that happens. You may be brought under conviction by the Spirit of God and fully aware that you may not know exactly everything that is involved in the way you feel and the guilt that's on your soul, but you know you want God to help you and God to do a work in your heart, and thank God for that, you can be saved. But I'm telling you, there is an awareness that something is deeply wrong in your soul. Amen. You listen? Revealing of liberty unveils your condition. And I don't have this in here, but let me throw this in. The responsibility of liberty will unveil your character. In other words, with liberty comes responsibility. You are responsible for the choices you make. I've had people blame in this society of mentally disturbed physicians and psychiatrists and social workers. I'm talking about people that have degrees. They go to college to be mentally ill. I mean, they have degrees to be insane. They go to college for it, to try to dissect just exactly what happened and who prompted this individual to make this choice they made. Along with liberty, which provides the ability to choose, is a responsibility that will unveil your character in the things you choose to do with your life. I don't care how many degrees you have nor how much college you've attended, you'll never convince me otherwise. The bottom line is, this Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation that man is responsible, solely responsible for the choices he makes in life. Amen. And that's why God made the conscious choice to provide a provision for man to be redeemed from his sinful state. Responsibility. There's a lot of things going on here at school that's a little bit different now. We've cut way down on the handbook as far as the rules. I told the staff today, I said, I want these young people to learn how to make choices. I want them to know that if they do this and it's wrong, that there's going to be punishment. I said, sooner or later, I said, when they're a little bitty like this, I mean, you take Trey or Jillian and there's regulations and restrictions. I mean, I let him crawl up the stairs from the basement the other day and I walked behind him all the way up the stairs. He'd take a step, crawl up, take a step, crawl up, take a step. And I was right there behind him just in case he failed. But as time passes on, there's going to be a time that he's going to go up them steps without me following behind him.
that the liberty that I gave him the other night, I was regulating, you know, what was going on, letting him see, hey, I can do this, but I have enough sense to know that he could fall and get hurt. And he'll probably fall before it's over with. I mean, that's going to happen. Bang his head, put a knot on his gourd, ain't going to kill him. You listening? And as time passes on, things change. You with me? Everybody with me? And we expect more from these three young men than we do from that little girl and that boy right there. They both got the same Bible in their hand. They come to the same school. They go to the same church. But we have greater expectations for those three young men than we do these two as far as what we expect from them and out of them. We give liberty. We try to have discernment. Sometimes rules go across the board. They fit him and they fit him, but it's a different world now because they have more liberty. And so am I making any sense to you tonight? And they're more responsible. And if you try to treat those boys like you treat this young man right here, there's going to come a time that time is going to avail liberty. And they're not going to know how to make any choices. All of a sudden the chain's loose, the collar's off, and the fence is down, and somebody's weeding the hedge, and now he's out there in the world to make choices, and he's going to wreck his life and his mind. Amen. Better listen to me now. Talking about life and liberty. Things change. Amen. Some of you moms, you hear ringing out through the house, I'm finished. There'll come a day you won't hear that, right? Is that not right? At least you hope. There comes a day you won't hear that. Time changes things. Life goes on. Choices are made. Responsibility is given. Expectations are given with those responsibilities. But yet there are restrictions in liberty. And you could preach all this far more in depth than what I'm preaching. But as reasons for liberty unveil choices, and the revealing of liberty unveils your condition, and the responsibility of liberty unveils your character. And don't let me forget that. I need to write that down. And then the restrictions of liberty unveil the commandments. For instance, if you go to Romans 6, is everybody with me? There's restrictions in liberty. The Bible gives us some commandments. He talks about sin in verse 14 of Romans chapter number 6, I believe it is. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Let me find where I'm at. But you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. He said, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You've been made free. You're a servant, but you're a free servant. And the restrictions of righteousness revolve around the commandments. Those commandments deal with sin. Sin is a transgression of the law of God. You have liberty, just like Adam had liberty. Adam had liberty to eat of every tree. But God said, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the day that thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. God tells us here in these verses that we are not to yield ourselves members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but to yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. So you can live for God. You can eat of every tree of this book and walk in the world God's created and enjoy life. But there's some things God said, if you take of that, if it's sin, you're going to die. Amen. All right? Self. Look in Galatians. And I got some verses. We're going to read them right quick and we're going to go home here in a minute. Galatians chapter 5, I believe it is. Galatians 5. The restrictions of liberty involve sin. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty only. Use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so these commandments deal with sin. These restrictions, they deal with sin. These restrictions in liberty, God says you have liberty, but you don't have liberty to sin. He said you have liberty, but you don't have liberty to indulge in self-wickedness.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And then in 1 Corinthians 8, you don't have to turn there. Well, if you want to turn there, turn there. I could probably quote part of it to you or give you the gist, but let's just read it right quick. 1 Corinthians 8:9, notice what it says. He says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So there's the restrictions of liberty. Sin, they deal with the commandments. Sin, self, and a stumbling block. If I'm going to do something that I have liberty to do, but it's going to damage this young lady's ability to serve God, I would be a stumbling block to her. It would pose questions in her mind. It's not expedient that I should leave it alone. I should not do it for her sake and for her ability to live for God. If there's something in my life that I can handle, but this young lady could not handle it, I'm better off to leave it alone, stay away from it for her sake.
Amen.
The restrictions of liberty. Some things are not expedient. All things are lawful. Some things are not expedient. Amen? You with me? That's the restrictions of liberty. Let me give you the last point. The reason for liberty, choice. The revealing of liberty, that's a condition. There's a lot of preaching here if I had the strength and the time. The restrictions of liberty, that's a commandment. Sin, self, a stumbling block. The responsibility of liberty, that's your character. You are responsible for the choices you make. Then rejoice in liberty. Rejoicing in liberty. Rejoicing in liberty is Christianity.
Amen. Amen.
Rejoicing in liberty is understanding Christianity. That's what they sang just a while ago, free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition.
Amen.
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 That condition is the state that your soul is in grace. We call that salvation through the cross where Jesus shed his blood. When the world sees it, they call it Christianity. At least that's the way it's supposed to work. Not you calling it Christianity, but that's what the world's supposed to call it when they see you live your life for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. All right? Now listen. The commandments declare it. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth, the very thing that had the entire nation of Israel in bondage, was the law of God. The very thing these kids sang that they were free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus said, through the experience of the new birth and looking at the law on that side of grace, he said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The commandments declare it. The truth shall make you free. Christ delivered it. Amen. John chapter number 8, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. Say, preacher, I want to do what I want to do. Then you need to get free. Amen. Because you're in bondage to yourself. You're in bondage to society. You're in bondage to Satan. You're in bondage to the styles of this world, to the mindset of this world, to the direction this world is going. If you want to be free to do what you want to do, and in through those desires, live for God and make the right choices and stay holy and live godly, then the Son must make you free. And if Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, if He makes you free, you'll be free indeed.
You'll be free indeed, friend. Jesus makes you free. You'll be free indeed. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the devil's a bond slave, friend. Sin is bondage. The mindset of the world, young ladies, Allison, this world will put you in bondage. The sins and willfulness of your own flesh, Emily, will put you in the cords of iniquity, wrap you up so tight you can't move. You'll smother to death in sin and living to self. But in Jesus Christ, there's liberty and freedom and peace and joy, and thank God, mercy to know.
You can rejoice in that liberty because the commandments declare Christ delivered it. Christianity displays it. That's what Christianity is all about. Living for Jesus, not because it's a political view, not because it's just a religion and you want to have a religion. You definitely don't want to be a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Hindu. Amen? So you want to be a Christian because it's more popular. No, here's what he said in 1 Peter. I believe it's chapter 5. Maybe it's 2 Peter 5. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. For so is the will of God. Here's the will of God. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God.
Amen.
That's pretty simple, isn't it? But it's the truth. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as what? Free. And not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Amen. I tell you what. Now, some of you are going to disagree with what I'm fixing to say. But I don't know whether or not that boy's reading his Bible. I don't ask him if he's reading his Bible. And I don't know if he's praying. I don't ask him, son, did you pray today? He's 21, 22 year old. If he don't read his Bible, he's going to be consumed and controlled by the flesh. If he don't pray, he's going to live a very lonely life in this world with no communion with God. And I've given him liberty to understand his responsibility to read his Bible and pray. If that boy don't do it, he will stand before God. He will stand before God not shackled by the chains of his daddy's religion. But he will stand before God being responsible freely of his own accord by the things that a holy God in heaven have provided for him.
Amen.
Now things change from the oldest to the youngest in most families. Most of you parents will wear your older son out for things that when time passes and he's 18 and you still got you a little whatever, you know, you'll pet him on the head and let him get by with things that you didn't let the older one get by with. But I never asked her if she read her Bible, did I? I never asked her if she prayed. Most Christianity at home is very mechanical and very fake. People sit down and do their little thing so they can say they do it and try to. I want my children to understand that they are responsible for their faith. When they're little, there's things we've done. We taught them the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Amen. The Bible, Trey. Right? We sang them those songs. But we didn't sing them the B-I-B-L-E when they were 16 years old. It's time for them to be responsible for the faith they say they have in Christ. If that girl is dead at 4 o'clock in the morning and no spiritual life, she's old enough to know why she's in the condition she's in, and she needs to deal with it. And you can pray for her, I can pray for her, and we can do all that we can do to try to help her, but she is her daddy's not responsible for her spiritual condition. Miss Olivia's responsible for the shape she's in right now. Whatever shape that's in. Liberty unveils the ability to choose, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for young people. And I deal with things differently. I deal with little ones different than I deal with older ones. You know, there's things that if an older kid done here in the school, I'd probably be a little bit more perturbed or upset than I do if younger children do. I mean, I threaten them, you know, tell them I'm going to beat them half to death, jerk their eyeballs out and feed them to a hog or something like that. You know, I had three walk out of the office the other day, their eyeballs that big around, and I don't guess we sent no notes home, did we? Nah, I ain't into all that stuff. I'm liable to beat one of them half to death, never tell you a word about it. Most of the time, if they get in enough trouble, you'll know they've been in trouble, won't you? Huh? I mean, you'll know it. They're sitting at home trying to act in such a way so that you don't find out. And you know something's wrong, right? What's wrong with you, boy? That's what Bobby said to Robert one time. What's wrong with you, boy? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with me. Nothing wrong with you? Nope, nothing wrong with me. Not a thing. Boy, what's wrong with you, man? The preacher tore my hide out today. You listen to me? Well, I want to know if you have to paddle my child. Well, just come up here and stay around. You'll hear it. Hey, man. Told him the other day, a new sheriff's in town, friend. Hey, man, I want him to live for God. I want him to make choices to live for Jesus. I want them to understand that they are responsible for the choices they make. Your child, sooner or later, is going to have to be responsible. I had that boy back there behind that camera running an 066 chainsaw, nearly a 7-horsepower motor on it when he was, I don't know, how old was he? Huh? 10 years old. Anybody know how big an 066? It's $1,000. One of the big, at that time, it's the biggest steel made, probably, yeah. 066 chainsaw, got about near 7-horsepower motor on it, pretty close to it or whatever it is. I just had bought him a brand new pair of boots to work in. And I told him, I said, now, boy, I said, you do this with that saw and you don't do this and you're crazy. He's 10 years old. Well, he cut his toe about near off. The bad part about it is he cut a hunk out of them brand new boots I bought. He had 10 toes. But I just paid $100-something for them boots. So I jerked the boot off, got him over by the hose, and I guarantee you one thing, he didn't straddle that saw and jerk on the cord no more or do whatever it is he done to pop that toe. So now that's crazy. He could have got killed. Yeah, you could have got killed coming home, coming to church tonight. You know what I'm saying? Some of you got your children wrapped up and you are so afraid. You are so afraid that they're going to make a choice that's going to embarrass you. Can I tell you something? Children are children. And they lie like dogs. I mean lie. I lied when I was a boy your age. And you lie. And when you lie, your daddy ought to beat the living daylights out of you. You ain't nervous, are you, Brother Jim? That's right. Amen. They lie. Crooked. Try to get by with stuff. And I know that grandma and their grandpa don't think they lie, and they think they're all right and everything's fine. But it ain't.
Amen.
No. Amen. But you better teach that boy. Somewhere along life's way, you better start cutting some strings loose before he gets 18. And while you have some control, when you have some control, are you listening to me? When you have some control and he's walking up them steps and you letting him walk and you just taking your time, you letting him climb up, you standing there behind him, and if he falls, you're going to catch him. He keeps climbing. You better let him climb while you got the opportunity to keep him out of trouble. Because if you keep him from going up them steps till he's 16 or 17, you're going to think in your mind, well, this is the end. He's going to fall off of them. When he's that old, he don't recover as good. He don't learn. Does that make any sense to you? I hope it does tonight. Amen. You can rejoice in liberty. The point of the message is this, young people. High schoolers are studying the book of Romans right now in our survey class. The book of Romans is about life and liberty. The book of Romans lets us know that we have life in Jesus Christ. And in that life, we can have liberty to do what we want to do. Now, if Josh Crawford wants to run around with worldly girls, listen to worldly music, if that's what he wants to do, then his liberty is just revealed who he is and what he is. And if he's so stupid that he can't sit still in the middle of the night with the sin that's in his life and see who he is and what he really is, he's deceived. He's in bad shape. You girls listening to me? If opportunity and liberty, girls, opens up the door of your mind to wickedness and ungodliness, and that's what you want and that's what you reach for, liberty is just showing you who you are and what you are, what you're willing to do and what you want. Look up here at me. If you felt like I felt, and I'm not saying this trying to make you think I'm spiritual, because I'm not. But if you felt like I felt tonight, you wouldn't be here. You couldn't hit me in the back of the neck right now with a ball bat, and I hurt no worse than what I'm hurting right now. But I'm telling you, I'm here because I want to be here. I didn't want to stay at home. I didn't want to lay at the house. I wanted to come to the house of God and be with God's people. That's what I want. Now, I don't understand why I would want to do that. And I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got enough money in the world to get me to do something I don't want to do. You better really sit down and be careful about the choices that you make and what motivates them. Because you can live for Jesus, walk with God, honor the Lord, be responsible. You know what I'm looking for? Stand to your feet. Some young people that'll be saved. Born again is what I'm talking about now. being born again by the Spirit of God, and living in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made them free, and not be entangled with the yoke of bondage, but have the joy and peace and realness of God in their soul.